Today is Thursday, April 18th, 2024, and you're listening to the Ask a Christian podcast. I'm your host, Nate. So we get some more detail on the men's conference male stripper showdown that got called out for the Jezebel spirit. Then we talk about this guy saying like, hey, look, Christians have to be accepting. It can't be judgmental because all religions preach unity. Really? How about the ones that preach satanic sacrifice? Is that, I guess they're unified in murdering people. Okay, but so this Christian has some questions. This guy tells him it's going to be bad for him on the day of judgment because he's being judgy by saying Christ is the only way. Not sorry. So, no, that's a bunch of nonsense. The Bible does preach unity in Christ, but the more important, overarching, ultimate point it preaches is Jesus is the only way to appease God and get to heaven. It's the only way you're going to get on God's good terms is by following Christ, repenting, and believing the gospel. That's it. All other religions, sorry, guys. If you want us to lie to you, well, we don't want to do that. So if you want us to tell you what we really believe, yes, follow Christ or burn in hell. That's just how it is. But don't burn in hell. Repent and believe the gospel. Then we can all hang out in unity, just like you want. So then we talk about Steph's wispy hair fiasco. and then we get into people have different beef with each other here and there, and everyone can't coexist and have unity like we're supposed to. So the point is, you know, the Bible verse, I should have just looked it up, but, you know, that talks about, is Paul talking about living at peace with all people as much as depends on you. And then when from there we go to some other topics and meet this other guy, Kareem, who asks about, why can't he just say he's God? Why can't anyone say he's God? So he's like, well, what proof does Jesus have? And, you know, when the second coming, when Jesus comes back, how will we know it's Jesus? Oh, you'll know. And Chris does not mince words in telling him. It's actually really good. Like, he doesn't yell and scream like crazy, but he just tells straight up how it is. I'm like, yeah, that's good. There you go. Speaking the truth in boldness. It's going to be a very bad day. So when people are like, how do I know it's Jesus? Oh, hey, yep, that's Jesus. If that's the time you realize it, it's probably too late. So I think it's Isaiah says, today is the day of salvation. So repent and believe on this side of eternity and be in God's good graces, reconciled to the one who made you. And you never have to worry about being popped like an overripened grape. You'll have to listen to learn more. All right, everyone, have a good day. See you later.
Like, how is this even real life?
Well, it was scripted.
I almost called my mom this morning because, so my mother still lives in my birth town, which is around that area. So I almost called her because we were talking about yesterday, and she doesn't have anything to do with that church. But basically, I guess the Lindell guy or whatever, it's like the main pastor of like the James River Assembly, in Springfield, Missouri. And they have an offshoot in a town close to where my parents live. Well, a lot of people I grew up with, like, they go to this offshoot town where it's basically just like a video service of the main building where I guess this Lindell guy is the pastor of. So they just go to this town or this church, this offshoot, and watch him preach on video every Sunday. Anyway, but so all these people, I guess, really like the guy. And from what I've known, like growing up, they're pretty solid Christians. By pretty solid, I also mean not like super rigorous, like, you know, studying through tomes and all that stuff like every day. But, you know, they have a solid grasp on the fundamentals and stuff like that. That's what I mean. So if there's some like, you know, flashy, showy guy, not to say that they wouldn't get sucked into it and be like, yeah, it's fine enough. But anyway, they seem pretty solid. I haven't talked to them in like 20 years. But anyway, that's the backstory. So I was talking to my mom. She's like, did you hear about this? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I still don't know. Like, I want to know, like, you know, did the guy, like the Driscoll guy, first of all, I'm like, well, where is he a pastor at? Is he like some popular guy? Is he like a researcher or a preacher? Like, I don't even think it said in the article. I guess you're just supposed to know. But so I don't really know his background or where he's coming from. And I'm like, well, did he just jump up in the middle of this like stripper performance? The guy swallowing swords on a pole? Did he like run up on stage and start yelling like Jezebel? Or did he wait until it was over or on a break and be like, this is wrong? So I'm like, I don't know. And apparently a lot of these people who I grew up with, half of them are like, no, he was right. He should have called it out. This is bad. And the other half are like, no, this guy should not have done that. He interrupted. That was not right and blah, blah, blah. So it seems to be split. Anyway, so I guess my mom had lunch with her friend who is all about this church. And like they were at the conference, like the her husband and sons and all these guys were at the conference when it happened. So she messaged me. She's like, "Oh, I got the full story," which, you know, means the full story from their point of view. She's like, "I get the full story, and you know, I'll tell you all about it tomorrow." So I'm like, "Huh?" I'm like, "Well, we've already talked about it. Surely no one will bring it up today." Anyway, so all that to say, I will know more tomorrow. But yeah, from what I do know, I mean, it just seems really weird because the whole point is like a men's conference to get men who normally wouldn't go to like a church into a church setting to like hear the gospel and, you know, hopefully, you know, follow Christ and, you know, become a Christian at that point. But it just seems like a weird way, right? It's like, hey, what's the most manly thing we can do? And it's like previously some of these guys that are on the more they shouldn't have had the stripper sword swallower there. The ones against that are like, well, look, in the past they've had monster trucks. They've had all these, like, you know, this power team, like these weightlifting dudes. And, you know, they had very like kind of macho male, like traditional male type stuff. And this time it's like they've got a half naked dude, like all shiny and oily, swallowing swords on a pole. They're like, if they're trying to appeal to, like, you know, males, that's a really weird way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like monster trucks, there's nothing inherently immoral about monster trucks in the Christian world. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, fine, have like a monster truck driver, race car driver, or whatever, come to the, but I'm sorry, you're hiring, and it's not like he's an ex-male stripper, like, and then he does some, like, fantastical dance, and you're just, not dance, but like speculation or spectacle. And you're like watching this, you know, this is like, he's oiled. It just seemed a little immoral. And I'm like wondering like what we're doing about, like, are we doing anything, or is this just like, well, it happened and, you know, it'll fizzle out in the next month and you'll forget all about it.
I'm thinking that's going to happen. I mean, there's probably, cause it's like one of those things that is so big and it was made such a public spectacle of, at the beginning, that probably the people that were really put off by it and like, no, this should not have happened. And then the leadership is like, no, this is fine. You guys are out of line. Yeah. Like at that moment, like in the first week, like if there was going to be anything come of it, that's where those people are like, no, that guy is wrong. This is immoral. That shouldn't be there. We're out. So they probably would have left the church and found someone else
somewhere else.
So yeah, it's probably going to die down and all the people that are fine with it are going to stay there. And probably like, I don't know, a small percentage of people who are like, nope, I'm out. They're already going to be gone.
And it's going to be perceived as like the Christian world sweeps it underneath the rug or something, rather than like, you know, no, half the church split over this. And so I think as long as like people know that it's not like common Christianity to accept some of this stuff, like it's ridiculous.
And well, this entire men's conference was ridiculous.
Do you know anything about it? Like, what,
I know
what's the thing you
all
called?
About it. Like, I
what's
can break
the
whole thing down.
What
it's
happened?
It's called Stronger Men's Conference. And they always bring in a bunch of heretics and a bunch of retards. And they come in and they do, like, stupid crap. And they're like, yeah, we're men. Yay. And this was just one thing. And Driscoll, who is desperately trying to regain some kind of prominence after he was unceremoniously thrown out of his church for being an abusive weirdo, is attempting to regain his former glory. And he thought this would be a really good idea to do it. And there's actually like backstage recordings of him saying he's going to do this because he saw his opportunity at hand.
So,
and then
is this, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I want you to keep giving the overview, but yeah, what? Who is this Driscoll guy? Like, what church is he from? How long ago was he popular? You're going to say Pentecostal, I'm sure you're sure. Go ahead.
No. So check this out. So have you ever heard the term young, restless, and reformed?
No.
Okay. So this was a big thing that swept the country about 15 years ago about, like, the resurgence of reformed theology. And
so
Mark...
Works.
Yes, and Mark Driscoll was one of these cats who was supposedly a reformed guy, okay? Wow. But he also held the distinction of having this church called Mars Hill Church in Seattle, and he would regularly do things like cuss from the pulpit.
I have heard of Mars Hill.
Yes, he was the founder and pastor of Mars Hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, And then it turned out he plagiarized a bunch of his books. He abused a bunch of parishioners. He just went power mad and just was hiring private detectives on people. Just, what? I mean, doing, oh yeah, he's a complete nutball. Okay. And wow. He's a scammer and a narcissist. So scammer, narcissist Mark Driscoll then gets unceremoniously booted from his own church over all of this stuff. He then goes and starts his own Pentecostal anti-Calvinist church because now he's just going to grift the other side, okay? And so he's decided he's going to go grift the other side, and then he gets invited to this, you know, even jellyfish, like, oh, you know, Jesus is just all right with us, like mega church nonsense. Yes. As one of the speakers with this Lindell guy. This Lindell guy is a complete heretic scumbag anyway. So, like, none of this has anything to do with Christianity. These are all a bunch of heretic scumbags.
Okay,
and then Mark Driscoll jumps up on stage. He sees his opportunity. He takes it. And now all these other things are getting released about this whole thing. And it was just a calculated ploy, just like Driscoll always does. And again, he's attempting to extend the grift. This has everything to do with money.
So let me see if I've got Chris's godly analysis correct. So everything you said, I take that in. So you're saying that even, let's see, Driscoll, you would say from your holy view, did the right thing, but for wrong reasons, because you think if there's going to be a men's conference of some kind, supposedly united under the banner of Christ and Christians, then they probably shouldn't have, like, you know, semi-nude dudes, like, oiled up, pole dancing on stage. So you would say, well, you agree with calling that guy out, even though he did it for all these nefarious reasons, in your opinion. So you agree with that, but then also, perhaps you would go a step further and say, well, look, God has used this for good, because even though from your standpoint, this was all a bunch of nonsense anyway on all sides, you said a bunch of stuff is now coming out about it. So maybe this, even though it was happened for all kinds of bad reasons, it has shed a spotlight on all this stuff you say is coming out. So maybe the end result is God hath used this for good, because A, you shouldn't have naked dudes performing in, you know, Christian's conference. And B, because of all this stuff, other hidden things are coming out, which will shed the spotlight on everyone. Is that a fair guess?
I mean, Lindell is getting some spotlight now because, you know, like, and there's also a bunch of charismania coming out, like, because Driscoll called out the quote unquote Jezebel spirit, you know, which is not a thing. There's no such thing. So, like, you know, there's just like all of this is just a bunch of even jellyfish nonsense.
Well, what other things bunch are of non-Christians coming out, like scandals or bad theology? Like, what other stuff are you saying?
Oh, yeah. Like, so, I mean, here's an article right here. John Lindell calls Mark Driscoll to repent after trying to destroy James River Church and sow disunity in the Lindell family. I mean, you know, I mean, there's just a ton of things. So now Justin Peters is doing a deep dive on this, and you guys might know Justin Peters is the guy who has muscular dystrophy that got dragged around to every Pentecostal revival on the West Coast by his mother to try to get him healed, and they would always shove him in the back of the room because they knew that their scam healing could never help him. Like, you know, so he's been to more revivals than any of us put together. And, you know, his whole ministry is exposing hucksters and charlatans. And so he helped expose Driscoll in the first time, you know, as being a grifter and, you know, a whack job. And his behavior has not changed. Driscoll is still a grifter and a whack job. Lindell is a grifter and a whack job. The Stronger Men's Conference is a grift filled with whack jobs. Like, man should stay far away from any of these people.
And Courtney, I know since you're the one who asked the question, I do know that this Lindell guy, he's the one, it's his church that did the toe growing thing, right? Like that it's the same guy, same church. If you've heard of that, the supposed toe growing miracle thing. Anyway, Courtney, yeah, does that answer your question? And keep in mind,
yeah,
this
no,
is from,
not heard
you know,
of it.
Is what?
I was saying, no, I've not heard of it. You said if I've heard of it, I haven't, but thank you.
Oh, well, does that answer your question about all the other stuff?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
D, what's
up? It's like Bethel Church Madness, right? So it's like, you know, Bethel Church performing witchcraft, and people are all like, oh, it's not witchcraft. It's just kind of witchy.
It's a good witch.
She's like Glenda the Good Witch.
Hey, Adam, good morning.
Morning. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good, good. So far, so good.
Kevin, gee, you didn't know that Bethel Church did witchcraft? We need to talk, man. Yeah, that place, they do grave
sucking.
You
need to interpret, yeah, you need to interpret Chris. So, which, I mean, he's not wrong, but it's not like they say, fellow Bethel Church believers, gather around for this unholy seance. Not like that. It's more like, hey, we believe power of prophets past are, you know, their energy is in the grave. So let's go lay on their graves and suck up their anointing. And then Chris is like, yeah, that's witchcraft. And everyone's like, oh. Okay.
Or they issue quote-unquote Christian tarot cards and do readings for people. Or they have their quote-unquote supernatural school of ministry. Oh, that, by the way, they closed their healing rooms down for COVID because, you know, they didn't want people to get COVID while they were getting healed. Yeah, that was a thing at Bethel. You know, there's cult-like behavior, there's punishments. Bethel is a horrific, awful cult, and people should run the other direction from Bethel Reading.
Hey, the more you talk about it makes me want to run to it.
Wait.
Adam's all like, grave sucking? That sounds like a great idea. I'm going to go find me the greatest truck driver ever, and I'm going to suck his truck driving anointing right out of his grave.
That's the spirit of Lot Lizard.
The spirit of Lot Lizard must depart you.
Oh, boy. D, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys, I go to Dubai on Friday, and I saw the weather, and they have a whole flood. Like, it's crazy.
Bro, is there even a Dubai left? I thought it just got taken away by the flood.
Did you see that video where the sky turned, like, green? Like, that was really trippy.
Wait, Dee, did you say you're in Dubai?
No, I'm going on Friday.
Ooh, I wanna know why. Why are you going?
My best friend, she's turning 40, and it's her 40th birthday trip, and because she's the bestie, you gotta go, or, you know, it's just one of those things.
I mean, I'd be a little apprehensive just due to my untrusting nature of things, but have fun.
You a rich Muslim man?
No, I'm good. I'm the Muslim man. Did y'all see that video of the woman who was getting beat by all the by those men? She was a...
Where?
It was
which
in...
Which video? There's like 100 out there.
Well, I didn't see that, but apparently some... Oh, it's Afghanistan. They just brought back stoning for women. So, you know.
Only for women, not men?
It said only women, so I don't know if they brought it back for everyone, but the thing I read was for women.
Who are That's we going to assign to go rescue Dee from being human trafficked when she gets to Dubai?
I mean, my conviction.
Who gets assigned to that job?
My conviction.
Everyone in this audience.
I was going to say my conscience is clear with warning before it happens. So you know, I advise against it before it happens.
I'm going to be on my best behavior. I'm going to be the best submissive, wrapped up woman that anyone has ever seen. I won't even talk. I know that's going to be hard.
Be careful, girl. You're going to get wiped up.
But what?
That's what they like over there.
But what video with which woman getting beat? Was she like out in public without a male relative or something? Or
no, it was just on. I was on Twitter, which is oh my gosh, Twitter is terrible. I was on Twitter, and you just see this video of this woman. She's completely wrapped, and they're like beating her with sticks. So,
but it doesn't say why.
I just couldn't even take watching it.
Probably because she's just a woman.
That's possible.
Yeah. Maybe they were like, why aren't you a goat?
See, things like that make me just want to, you know, when they're like, oh, Christianity is repressive. It's about the patriarchy. Shut up.
Oh, I know. Well, see, that's from young, dumb, immature girls on TikTok that get their theology and opinions from people on TikTok that don't actually understand and know the world. And then whenever you present them with a Muslim woman who can only have her eyes, you know, showing, and she's dressed in black, the men can wear white, but they're dressed in black, and it's the dead of summer, and they're like, that's so beautiful. That's their culture. I'm like, what is the matter with you? Were you born? Never mind.
Hey, Lou, good morning. Hope you're doing good down there.
I just thought of that. D is going to be fine as long as she doesn't wear one of those, like, two-part costumes, like a horse costume that's a goat. She'll be all right.
Just wear, like, a Jesus is Lord shirt with a big cross and let us...
You really try. Oh, my gosh. You're trying to get...
While drinking whiskey.
Wait, you can drink alcohol in Dubai if you're not a Dubai citizen. Is that correct or no?
I don't know. Listen, I'm just going over there, and I am just going to be on my best behavior, and I'm not going to rock the boat. But, like, now that you guys are...
But crust the glass of whiskey with bacon. You know how they do that with salt? You know, just like...
Oh, God, yeah. We're going to find a video
bacon of bacon and whiskey and a Jesus shirt. Do that, D.
So I don't eat bacon, or pork, anyway. So that wouldn't be a... I would be okay with not doing that. But when... The Jesus thing, now I might have to get on Amazon and find me a Jesus Christ and Him Crucified shirt, but
maybe. Oh, like, so you're trying to be a martyr, okay.
Yeah, girl, don't, I would Google, like, maybe Google something, or, like, find, like, you know, what to do, how to prepare yourself. Before you go to, like, Dubai. I mean, you know, the cultural aspect of it. I have a friend that went to Israel. Her and her husband went, like, a big group. It was, like, 30-something people. And they were sitting outside, and there was this really frum Jew sitting, like, fairly close to them. And her husband was eating, like, a cake or a cracker or something, and it was in his beard. And she reached up to grab it and, like brush it out. He stood up, grabbed his wife and children, and, like, walked off and stopped, turned around and said, don't do that. That's inappropriate behavior. Like, it's immoral. And she was like, what? Like, because it's considered, like, just like the husband is the only one allowed to see the wife uncovered hair. Same for stroking his beard. So
where was that at?
Israel.
Oh, yeah. Is it too late to be like, hey, friend, you know, why don't we check out Costa Rica? I hear it's nice the time of year.
She's already.
You cut out.
Okay. Hold on.
There you are. There you are.
You know, I get in this car and this phone. You know, I mean, I think fine. I did a report on the UAE a long time ago when I was a kid. And I always thought about going there just to kind of visit, but I had to recheck the map to see where it was because I didn't want to be too close to Israel, even though I really want to go to Israel, but I had to check the map. And it's far enough, so I won't be caught up in the bombs. So, I don't know. Throw one up there for me, and I should be fine. I'll be back, and I'll tell y'all about it.
Yeah, you'll be good. We're just pulling.
You should jump on Clubhouse a time or two while you're over there and let us know how it's going.
I will. I am about to pay for this international plan on Friday, so I'll hit y'all up.
When did you say you're going?
I leave Friday. I don't get there till Sunday because I take a red eye Friday night, and I won't get there till like Sunday morning at 12 a.m. And then, and I come back that following Friday.
Yeah, seriously. This is like the start of every bad movie. But, Chris, I think that responsibility falls to you. It'll be the, to go like be like the what was that movie? The Expendables.
Taken.
Charles says you're good in the chat. Read Brother Charles. He says you're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's supposed to be like one of the most tourist friendly places of that kind, but whatever. I mean, you know. Yeah, Chris will be like the Expendables. All right. Well, that was fun. Steph, I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but if you wanted to balance this out with your Wesleyan spirit, that'd be fine.
So I was in a room earlier this morning because I go to work at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and start driving and stuff. So I have nothing better to do. And I was, you know, up on stage and talking about, you know, something that I felt passionate about and stuff. And there was a guy that came in there and I don't really know like how to take it, but he was basically trying to say that, you know, the Bible's all well and good and stuff like that, but if you're going to be a true Christian, you need to believe in all these other religions and stuff like that, because people who don't believe in God and don't believe in the Bible are going to make it to heaven. And when I stood up and said, no, that's not true, the Bible plainly says that that's not true, he tried to make the argument that we can't trust the Bible, it was written by man. But what was so like crazy to me is every religion out there, their book is written by man, but the Bible is the only one that says that it was inspired by God, you know. And I don't know if I was able to drive that home like I wanted to, but I wanted to know what your guys' thoughts on all that is like, because like I understand there's many different beliefs and stuff like that, but is that what's causing a lot of the problems going on, not only in the church world with, you know, conferences and stuff like that, is because we're getting away from, you know, trusting and believing the Bible and it is God's word, and we're adapting or trying to adapt to the different cultures and different religions of this world today? Am I wrong in believing, you know, the Bible's the word of God and it's the only truth? Am I wrong in believing that?
Of course you're not wrong. Hang on, put a quick pin in that, because I want to finish this Dubai thing up. We're going to come right back to that. But no, you're not wrong. That person's crazy. Okay, so D, the last thing, someone shared an article with me. Things not to do in Dubai in 2024, or you'll land in deep trouble. This is from Travel Triangle. A glorious metropolitan city built atop the sandy Arabian desert, blah, 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 blah. So if Dubai is your next destination, remember, it's so glorious and amazing. If Dubai is your next vacation destination, take note of these things not to do in Dubai, or you'll be landing in trouble. 15 things to not do in Dubai. Under all the glitz actually lies a conservative city. that takes its religion and culture very seriously. Before you head out, check out this list of what not to do in Dubai. There's like the third warning in the second paragraph. Okay. Do not use your left hand to greet anyone. Do not indulge in PDA. Do not dress, quote, inappropriately. Do not cuss in public. Do not take photographs without permission. Do not carry all your medicines. Do not eat in public during Ramadan. Do not make rude hand gestures while driving. Do not bring prohibited items. Do not disrespect the royal family in public. Do not miss visiting the popular tourist spots. So you better go to every single one of those, or you're going to be in trouble. Do not stay in a hotel if you're unmarried. Oh, or probably not taking your husband with you. Do not cross-dress. Do not drink in public. Doesn't say alcohol, just says don't drink. Do not drink in public. And D, do not dance in public. I'm going to share this. It's too much. It goes through each one of those 15 things. I'm going to just share this because it breaks down all of them. But that's enough for now. So D, good freaking luck. Okay, so Adam, and the article's there in chat if you want to see an explanation of those things. You can check that out. It's traveltriangle.com/blog/things-not-to-do-in-Dubai.
Breaking news, American woman arrested in Dubai for not visiting all of the tourist locations.
Who is following these people? Like, who has the time?
They have morality police.
You know,
like cameras.
Listen, quiet as is kept, if we had some of those rules here in America, we wouldn't have to worry about somebody twerking for Jesus in baby oil.
I mean, that's a fair point, but you know,
why are you impugning Steph's ministry? Just leave her alone.
Chris, okay. It's too early for all that.
Okay, let's get to Adam's question. Okay, Adam had a serious question. Finally. Thank you, Adam. Okay, not saying your travel trouble doesn't matter to you. Very much does. Okay, so, Adam, you said someone this morning was saying to be a true Christian, you got to believe in all the religions because blah, 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 people who aren't Christians are going to be in heaven. And you're like, bro, the Bible says completely the opposite. And he's like, no, you can't trust the Bible because it's written by man. And you're like, but everything's written by man. That's as far as we got. I know the claim of Muslims, for example, will be like, you know, some angel directly dictated to Muhammad what to write. And they say that's why it's superior. And Christians will say, well, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that's why, like, every comma doesn't need to be dictated. But you get the spirit of the message exactly as God meant for it to be intended. Other than that, I don't know of any religion that claims, I mean, maybe Judaism. Other than the Abrahamic religions, I don't know of any other religion that the claim is their God dictated or inspired or anything like that. So, I mean, maybe there's some out there, but I don't know of any others. That's where we are. Anyone want to take it from there?
Well, the one thing that he was trying to bring out, too, is he said that the reason he was saying that is because all the religions that he's looked into of the world and stuff like that, because he said he used to be Christian for 56 years and all that stuff and everything. And he said he still believes in Christ and all that stuff and everything, but he doesn't hold to Christianity because the whole thing is all the religions out there preach the same message, and that's unity and
that's
the fruits
retarded.
Of the Spirit. And I'm sitting here, you know, scratching my head going, no. And so I was bringing the point up that it says that no man comes to the Father but through me. You know, Jesus was saying that and stuff like that. And I said, that right there is proof enough for me. And I said, I've got other verses, okay, that I can add to this that would disprove what you're saying. And, but like, what just got me so confused and so like, about it all is that he said that because I was stating that I was stating Jesus's words back to him, that I was being a super judgmental Christian, and he's going to judge me harder because I took a stance like I did. And he said that I'm in a very, very, very dangerous position to be in because
well,
of the judgment of God that's going to befall me because of what I was saying.
Hang on one second. If you haven't figured that already, yeah, just disregard that wholesale. I mean, the Bible says, you know, by the same measure you use to judge people is the same measure it's going to be used to judge you. But it also says judge rightly. So if the way you're judging people, quote, judging people is saying, you know, Jesus is Lord, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And they say, you're being judgy. Yes, but I'm using Jesus' words. I'm using the Bible to judge rightly. So according to the Bible, that same standard is going to be used to judge me. So if you think I'm judging you by saying Jesus is the only way, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him, and you say that's judgy, well, the Bible also says that's how I'm going to be judged. So on judgment day, is God going to be like, hey, Adam, how are we going to judge you? Oh, yeah. Do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? And you're like, yep, sure do. Like, great. You have been judged rightly. Quick correction before Chris asked about the name. Yeah, Charles. Thank you, Charles. Yeah, so Muhammad didn't pin the Quran. He recited what the angel told him to his followers. Quick correction. And so do you know the guy's name? Chris wants to know. And then go ahead, Chris.
Burke. Or
Bert?
B- B- No, B-R-A-K, Brack, I don't know, B-R-A-K was his name.
He sounds new age.
But this is one thing I wanted to say. You know, I even had one of the people in the room earlier, and this just proves a lot of things, you know, because we get people in here all the time saying you can't believe that Jesus, you know, you can't do that. It's only God and stuff like that. Okay, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 23 through 24, and I can't quote it, but it basically says there, God is telling them through John that you're to believe in Christ, because if you don't, then you're not going to get, you know, just like that verse says, you know, no man comes to the Father but by me. God is telling John to write this to the church that he's writing at the time, that you've got to go through Jesus. It's all through Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have communion with the Father.
Yeah, we should talk about why.
And yeah, to get everyone in, I saw Connie came on stage, and I saw Courtney and Dee both raise their hands. And I think that, Chris, did you only want to know the guy's name, or did you want to say something else first, and then we'll run down the list?
Chris, no, I was just wondering. I just wanted to know who this dude was, because, like, you know, there's like Oliver Richardson that runs around. And he says crazy stuff like that. So
yeah, and saying all religions preach unity, like that. Oh gosh, that's like the morning of pet peeves. That's one of the things that also bugs me so much. It's like, tell us you don't know anything about religion without telling us you don't know anything about religion. It's like, all religions preach love, all religions preach unity. Shut up. It's like, look, there may be a unity component, but that is like all religions, like a lot of religions will murder you for saying that. Like, oh, all you got to do in this religion is just preach love. Oh, why are you picking up rocks? Why are you dunking me in water in a cage? What's going on, guys? It's all love, right? So let the people who believe their own religions tell you about their own religions. Or Christianity, yes, you should have unity in Christ. You should have love. You should have a moral compass. But the most important thing you should have is eternal life, being saved, being born again, redeemed through Christ Jesus. That is the number one point of Christianity. All these other things, sure. But it's like, what are you going to say? All religions preach hate? Well, no, you've got to get in somewhere. So it's like you take a component that all of them have. Yes, they all have some sort of harmonizing, unifying component within their own religion, but that's like 70%. You don't go all the way to what's 100% most important. So for Christianity, that's Christ. For other religions, you know, they can speak to that. But yeah, Courtney, go ahead, Courtney.
I was just gonna say we should maybe talk about why, right? Because I mean, you, of course, you have, like, here's the thing. Why or how should I know that Christianity is the one true religion, right? If they all have similar, you know, Noah's flood stories and all of these other things, how do I know which one is true and why should I believe it? I think we should talk about why Christianity is different in that, you know, Christ is the way, the truth, and life, and how one gets to the Father. I think it's very theological is what I'm saying.
Do you want to run down those points real quick?
Oh, I mean, I don't know what this other this guy. I mean, I guess he claims to be a Christian, but it sounds a bit like.
Well, the what he said was that. Sorry, I'm just gonna tell y'all, my voice is trying to leave me, and I just want you to know, allergies are real and they're not of God; they're of the devil.
I cast out the spirit of Lot, lizard, from you.
I mean, if you pass a graveyard, try to soak up some healing. I mean,
I know, right?
Catherine Coleman, she'll help you out. Go find her grave.
Oh, will she though? Amen. But the thing of it is what he was trying to say is, and what he was bringing out, what he was refuting me saying that, you know, it's through Jesus. He was trying to say that if you point to, I think it was Islam or whatever, that or the Muslim, the Quran, that they came from Ishmael. It all came from Ishmael. And he was like trying to promote Ishmael as like, because Ishmael was mentioned in the Bible, I've got to take what he says about religion, the religions that he's talking about, seriously. And what I was trying to say is Ishmael doesn't matter. None of this matters. What I was trying to say is that Jesus is the only one that matters in this context, because it's through him that we gain access to the Father. It's through him that we have to go, you know, because it says, you know, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you know. And I was bringing out, you know, John 3:16, all those different ones, but like his whole premise was all the religions that he has studied and that he's looked at is they all have the same concept. They all have people right. in them that live by this code that is
correct.
Like the
but that's
of the
why
spirit.
I say,
yeah,
that's why so, I say we should talk about why. It doesn't matter how good you are. That's not the aspect that saves. We should talk about why Jesus is what saves. That's the point, because that's where the distinction is, right? Between, you know, all these other religions where it's like, yeah, just be a good person, right? And then someone put in the chat, pure undefiled religion is loving the orphan, et cetera, so on and so forth, in James 1:27, which is true. I mean, if we're going to define religious dogma, yeah. But in that what saves, what brings us back into reconciliation with the Father, and why and how, that's the important aspect.
And isn't that funny that the same guy that you said says we can't trust the Bible now says, oh, well, no, you can trust the Bible because it talks about Ishmael. But if you read the Bible where it talks about Ishmael, it's not a great thing. Like, Ishmael, good Lord, you're the reason for, like, wars ever since the time you were born. So if you want to look at it, like, you know, God has a promise for Abraham. And, you know, if he would have just had faith in God and not tried to take matters into his own hand and make a prophecy self-fulfill, we wouldn't have a whole bunch of dead people. But, you know, he's like, oh, I mean, you know, at the behest of Sarah, just saying, but, you know, anyways, he takes matters into his own hands, you know, hooks up with a handmaiden illegitimately, has Ishmael. And then, if he just would have not done that, God's promise happens. Isaac is born, the legitimate one through his wife, Sarah. So if he just would have did it God's way and had faith from the beginning and not tried to force, you know, force something to happen, we wouldn't be in the mess that we've been in for thousands of years. Just saying. So Ishmael is not a great case to make for that side. But Dee, you had your hand up too. What's up, Dee? Still want to talk, Dee?
No, I'm good. It was a fleeting comment. It was not necessary. So go ahead.
Connie, what's up? Did you want to speak on this?
Oh, I don't know. Are we speaking? Are we in a
oh,
subject?
Or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, you came up when that was presented, so I thought maybe you wanted to specifically talk about that.
Right. I was in Israel and got wrapped up in a piece of butcher paper by a couple of women. But I was only, 21 years old, or maybe I was 22, I can't remember. But I wasn't offended. But I stayed on the Arab side of the city and got my boob and my butt pinched over on that side. What I was thinking about, Dee, I think what they're saying is don't go wandering on the back streets, right? Don't go to the sites that are like the tourist sites. I'm concerned because we landed 1 week after their 9/11, which was when they took the machine guns and slaughtered all those people in the new Tel Aviv airport. So it was pretty tense when we got there, and we didn't know because we were in countries that weren't giving the news in English, so we had no idea that we were flying into a scary place. But I would go and I'd read that list and I'd read the other stuff behind it, because I think they're saying don't wander down streets, don't go places on your own, things like that.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Why didn't
you know? it's first of all, I wouldn't be going where you're going. I would be going to Costa Rica, but.
Yeah.
Can hardly wait to hear what you have to say when you come back. Really.
Steph, did you want to say anything? Or are you just did you just come to stage to be polite and you don't really want to talk right now?
Oh, I took a call. I just missed the last maybe 5 minutes.
Oh, it's fine. Michael, what's up?
Greetings and salutations from Canuckland. How's everybody doing today?
Greetings. Doing good. Doing well.
Just kind of listening right now. Nothing has really poked my interest. Oh, I am having a discussion, very specifically not a debate, a discussion with a couple of apologists on Tuesday on a YouTube channel called Now That's Debatable at what time? 6:00 Eastern, if anybody's interested. So that should be fun.
Is he that Stanley guy?
No, no, it's a no. I'm gonna tear a couple of presuppers a new one.
Chris, you should come.
You should come. Presuppositional apologetics.
Are you gonna read Immanuel Kant and David Hume first?
No, I'm, well, no.
You really should do that.
No, I'm not worried about that. Actually, most of my quotes are coming from Cornelius Van Til.
Wait, what's the subject though?
Presuppositional apologetics and its bankruptcy.
Oh, and so he, okay. yeah. So since that's going to happen sometime in the future, we don't need to go down that road today. Or
yeah, no, totally. Yeah, no. I just wanted to let people know that if they want to get a chance to see my ugly mug live and in person on YouTube, they can go tune in there.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's a commercial, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not even something for me. It's for somebody else's YouTube channel. It's a fairly new channel, and but they're good. It's a couple of really good guys. Two former believers, both like raised in the faith, stuff like that, and they have this YouTube channel called Now That's Debatable, and they have really good conversations. So anyway,
who are the two quote unquote apologists that you're talking to?
One guy's name is Wes, and I forget the other guy's name.
I love how Chris is like quote unquote.
If you could just post the YouTube link so this can stop, Chris can just click it and subscribe.
You know I never go into the side chat and post things. Chris, I'll send you a link in your email.
Wait, Adam, it takes just the same amount of effort and time to post it in the chat than it does to send it privately to Chris. I want to know
even more.
Yeah, more.
Okay, so I'll send it to Chris and I'll send it to Nate. And then Nate can post it on the Discord. So I'm driving right now, so I can't do anything right now. But Nate can post it somewhere or something like that. But yeah, I never. It's almost like a rule for me now that I never go into the chat.
Sounds like he's saying he didn't want you to join, Courtney.
It sounds like it. Jeez.
Oh no, Courtney. Okay. Well, how can I make this easier? Okay, Courtney. If you go to my bio, my email is in my bio. Send me an email, and then I will email you the link.
I'm just pulling your leg, Michael.
Oh, okay.
I'll remember. That's Debatable YouTube channel. But you said Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern.
Eastern, so that's going to be an hour. Okay, 5 miles.
But anyways, Adam, I hope that answers your question about the other thing. I think there's enough there. But
yeah, Adam, look into PSA, Penal Substitutionary Atonement. That'll be your answer. Chris.
Oh, we're having fun now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone down there have questions, comments? Feel free to jump up on stage or type something in chat if you like. Welcome.
Can we do a thing where Courtney and Steph get the same exact haircut?
What would that haircut be?
I have something similar. Can we have a raffle? My hair's not naturally as straight.
So I am a hairstylist and I do cut hair. So if you guys give me the pictures, I can make it happen for them.
Can we do a raffle? Will you guys submit to a raffle and whoever wins, that's the haircut you have to, that's the style you have to get?
I don't know because I'm super particular about my hair.
I'm not seriously very ask these two ladies to submit to something?
A raffle for like some kind of charity or something.
Oh, like, you're like going to have to like, say it's a charity. Okay, I see how you do it.
Well, yeah, you know, get them
PTR
in there where they can't.
We're done here. We did it.
Oh, that's yes.
It's on the opposite sides.
I'm not flipping the photo. It's fine. That's close enough.
Oh, yeah, you can flip the photo and just say it's good.
I have naturally like wavy hair, but not curly. You have naturally curly hair?
Yeah. Only in the summer, though.
I'm not commenting on anyone's hair ever again.
All right, let's let the ladies just talk about hair care for the next hour.
Yo,
it's kind of your boss.
Let's see what Glenn has to say. What's up, Glenn? How you doing,
Glenn?
Wait a minute.
Courtney, Nate called my hair wispy. Would you be offended by that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hold on. Wait. Context. Courtney, context. Okay.
Nate, did you say that Steph had alopecia?
No.
What?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay, Courtney.
Nate.
Here's the context. The context was Steph was having some kind of conversation about her hair with someone else, and they weren't able to quite pinpoint what they were trying to talk about. So I decided to help. And they were talking about hairstyles. And I'm like, oh, well, I think, you know, I think it looks, you know, it has like a, I said, like wispy feel to it. And I'm not talking about her entire head of hair. I was specifically talking about the very end, like the ends of her hair, like how you would, how you know, you would like maybe comb it to where you want it to be like free flowing and like in God's air and waving around. Like, that's what I thought. But when she heard wispy, she thought I meant like her entire scalp of hair was just like thinning and she was like going bald. I'm like, that's not what I meant at all. It was supposed to be a compliment. Like how it wasn't like, you know, matted down or covered in hair gel at the ends, how it was like, you know, just natural and like, yeah. You know. Anyway, so.
Let me help save Nate. Okay, as a hairstylist, you guys, there's two definitions of wispy. Wispy can be, oh, she needs a haircut. Those ends are trash. The split ends are going up and it's making the hair look wispy. And then wispy can be like if you're doing an updo and you have a couple of wispy pieces out so that it can give it a more of a softer look. So maybe that was what Nate was
saying. Thank you, Dee. Yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah, but you've got to qualify the wispy by saying whimsical and wispy.
He did. His second round, he did exactly that.
Whimsical? He said whimsical?
He did. I'm pretty sure that's exactly
what I'm absolved. I'm absolved. All right. The Lord's Council of Ladies has absolved me. Okay. So, like, I mean, if Chris called your hair wispy, he's bad. If I do it, it's with the best of intentions.
Okay, agreed. We can all agree to that.
Okay, Glenn, what's up, man? Save us all.
You guys like my bald ladies? My bald ladies gifts? It's great.
What's up, Glenn?
What's going on? Peace, shalom, and blessings to everybody on stage, man. What's going on with you, bro? I just got on here. I ain't been on here in a while.
Well, I say
when I get up in the morning, you know, back then I used to always come on here. We had good conversations, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. You got anything today, or are you just listening while you wake up?
Oh, I'm up now. I was just saying what the conversation was and what the topic was. You know me.
About hair care.
Hey, it's two different words for whisper now, Nate. They was on your head.
So it's been a little bit of everything. So we've kind of discussed the reason why the belief in Jesus is different than that of all the other previous. Like, it's funny because I was just in Andrew's room the other day, actually yesterday, and we were discussing this. Like, is there the concept of a dying Messiah, rising 3 days, 3 nights, 12 disciples, born of a virgin, December 25th, all that prior to Christianity. And so we were discussing this, and I think it was good conversation, but it is like this weird idea that Jesus is just a copy in every way, shape, and form of the previous so-called gods before him. And it's like, it's not, but it's not.
I would think that if you read the New Testament, it says that it was written. It says all what you said about Christ. Remember, Christ fulfilled prophecies written about him in the Torah and Tanakh. So I don't know why they would try to take it from anywhere but that. Like when Christ said in John 6:44, he said, no man can come to me unless first he is drawn to me by the Father. For as it is written in the prophets, all who learn from Yahweh come unto me. I don't think Christ is something different. I think Christ is a fulfillment of what the Most High gave to his earlier prophets in the Torah and Tanakh. And he's superior to them too, superior to Moses. My view on that is, even though Moses spoke to the Father in heaven, like how he did in Mount Sinai, the difference between him and Christ, even though Christ is referred to as the prophet like Moses, is that Christ had the Logos or the Father dwell in him. And he had an intimate, the oneness that Christ had with the Father was, he had it his whole life. So that I think that would be the major difference if they wanted to talk about a difference.
Well, I think it's dishonest. I think, you know, whenever people do that, it's usually a counter apologetic and it's from someone who's some other religion. And they say that to like knowing the answer, like knowing, you know, what the Bible talks about if they just read it. But they're just like throwing it as a stumbling block. So like maybe Christians who are not so sure about their faith or they're new, it's like throwing spaghetti at a wall. Like they'll just keep throwing stuff and see what sticks. So if they're like, someone who questions, they're like, oh no, what's that? Is that true? Is that true? Oh, I shouldn't be a Christian. What are you? Surely you're right. So, and then when they find people who, you know, don't buy that, they have like, you know, 10 or 12 things. They'll just like machine gun out and just like throw stuff. And if none of it sticks, then they just start yelling and challenge you to the field of battle or something like that.
That's right. That's right, bro. Nate, you on it, bro. That's why I like Nate, man. Like, we got the little differences on certain little stuff, but we in agreement, man. That's the, and they do that, bro. I see people attack, like, with the, they attack the Bible and said that Genesis really means genealogy of Isis, and Israel is really Isis Ra'el. I say, how smart is that? You're using English transliterations for something, you know, Genesis is really Bereshit or Berist, and Israel is not spelled the way it is in English, how it was at first. I say, how do you skip the original? And they attack with them using those straw man tactics.
I agree. I like you too, Glenn. Well, I want to say hi to Kareem, but yeah, whatever's going on in chat. Yeah. Look, I like all the regulars. I like Chris. He's got issues. I like Courtney. I like Steph. I like Connie. I like Michael. I mean, Michael's a freaking atheist. But, I mean, you know, he's a nice, polite, respectful one, at least in this room, he will say. Maybe not everywhere. But, I mean, you know, generally, like, it doesn't matter if you know, people have disagreements or whatever. I would say if there's a bridge too far, if there's someone that, like, you know, calls himself a Christian, but they are so far across the bridge that I can't possibly bear it, then it's like, well, look, I don't want that person speaking on behalf of Christians. Like, you know, that's unfortunately why I stopped having, like, you know, some of the people like Bob, even of a guest. I like Bob as a person. He's a great guy. It pains me that I don't have him up here. But, you know, he's like, no, I'm a Christian. And I'm going to give answers from my Unitarian point of view. And I'm like, I can't have that, man. I'm like, look, if you stop being a Unitarian, or if you, like, become, I don't know, an atheist or Muslim, like, I'll have you as a guest. But you would think that's worse, right? But it's not. Because it's easier if you're like, yeah, I'm not a Christian. That's all wrong. It's like, okay, well, you could be a guest. But if you're trying to, like, present yourself as a Christian, but you're so far outside of orthodoxy that the Bible just calls you wrong, then I don't want that kind of person on stage, because you're so wrong. I don't want you, like, representing a Christian view on my stage. So, and I guess, you know, as a moderator, it's my subjectivity to decide where that line is. Unitarian, pretty easy. Anyways, Courtney, you seem like good people. We probably have some differences, and I know, I don't know, maybe if we talked for 20 hours, you'd say something like, oh, Nate, I didn't know about that, you're a heretic. And I'm like, oh, Courtney, I didn't know about that about you. But anyways, so, you know, treat them like family till you can't. So as far as I know, and, you know, other people I've talked to, like, nah, Courtney's good people. So, you know, trust them till I can't. So yeah, if you say, hey, Jesus is actually the brother of Satan, I'm like, ooh, that's, I don't think we can get by that one.
That's Mormon.
Yeah.
No, she's known for doing that. So, like, one day she asked me to be.
Oh, sorry. Let me interrupt you. I also like Joanna. Is she still here? Is she?
Nate, you didn't say D. I've been waiting.
Yeah, and he didn't say Adam either. Well,
D, okay, hey, D, read the chat. There's a reason for him having to say this about me in particular.
Is Joanna still here? Did she leave? Oh, man, she already left. Okay, anyways.
She starts stuff and leaves. It's common.
Yeah, hang on. I want to address that too. Yeah, so D, I was trying to single out the lightning rods that people have with each other, because everyone's got, like, their arch nemesis. So I was trying – you're great, D. See, me not talking to you means about you means everyone likes D, and everyone likes Adam. So anyways, I meant to say I also like Joanna, but whenever people have, like, personal beef like that, like, you know, Courtney and Joanna or Chris and Steph, who I'm very happy that they've coexisted. I pray it keeps going.
It's very hard.
But, it doesn't matter.
Jesus, I want to show
you. You're getting stars in your crown in heaven. Just keep that in mind. Okay, but the point is, like, yeah, so even if people have personal beefs, they're like, I won't be on a stage if they're there. I won't be on a stage if they're there. That's your personal choice. Like, look, if everyone's cool and respectful in my room, then you can both be here. None of you can be here. I don't care. So I try not to do personal beef and, like, favoritism as much as I can. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate Joanna left. But, yeah, I like her too, and she's, you know, good and respectful in here. So if you guys both have beef and can't be good and respectful to each other, then, you know, if one of you has to excuse yourself, fine. Okay, Courtney, sorry about that. Go ahead.
The point is, be at peace with all people
as much as depends on you.
Correct. Yeah. I was just saying, it's not a problem for me. Like, cause she comes in and she does this all the time. Like, one minute I'm her best friend and the next I'm her enemy. Like, I have screenshots of her commenting, sending me private messages, saying how wonderful I am. And the next minute she's, like, you know, dogging me. And I'm just like, I prefer not to associate with people who do that. So that's really the issue, but I don't let that cause rift in your room. So it doesn't bother me that she says that.
Yeah, it seems like it worked itself out. So, I mean,
you're not the only one with that issue with her.
But Kareem, what's up? How are you doing? Are you speaking, Kareem?
No, excuse me. I was far from the phone. So good evening. I just interesting in your topics and your thing or your things. So I want to ask about the Jesus and those stuff. What if I came or if someone came who's saying I'm a Jesus? What which proof you can say or which thing he should to do to say that I am a Jesus?
Not quite sure. Huh? I follow you. Did anyone else?
Are you saying talking about the second coming? Is that what you're talking about?
Can you say that again? We're not sure we got everything.
I was asking if someone who came proclaimed that he is the Jesus and he returned back from the death, what proof he should to do, or are he should to like rise the dead people from their coffin or something?
So what proof did Jesus give that he is Jesus?
If he is come right now, if he is come, if someone proclaimed
he's,
right
oh,
now.
Oh,
he's like, coming like, back. When he comes back, what proof does Jesus have to give to show that he's Jesus when he comes back?
It's in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, the Son of Man prophecy, where all eyes gonna see him.
Do you have that? Can you read that?
Hold on, I'll pull it up. Give me one second.
Yeah, I think it's usually good when the Bible like directly speaks to something. Let's just read the Bible. But yeah, I agree with what Glenn said and what he's going to read. But the point is, it's going to be unmistakable. So I believe people can be deceived to a degree about a false Christ, because even back in the day when this was happening, the Bible talks about how, you know, there are many people claiming to be the Messiah and leading these different groups, but they all fall away because people may be hooked and deceived for a while, but then it dies away and falls out because there's nothing to hold them. Versus Jesus, people believed all the way through, even till today. So people can be deceived, you know, for a time into maybe believing like a false Christ. And the Bible, you know, gives us warning. It says if people say, look, there he is, there he is, there he is, don't pay attention. So the Bible gives us warning. But whenever like the real Jesus returns, that's what Glenn's going to read here in a second. You got it, Glenn?
Yeah, I'm at Matthew 24 now. And you hit it right on the nose, man, because that's what I preach, bro. That because Christ said that. He said that those the false Christ. Matter of fact, in Matthew 24, verse 5, he says, for they will come speaking in my name, and they will deceive many. He says that. I'm trying to slide down to the Son of Man prophecy. One second, brother. All eyes will see him. That's 27. For as the lightning comes out of the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. There's one more. Because even in that verse, he was saying when they claim he's in the desert, don't believe it. When they claim he's in the holy place, don't believe it. Because the false prophets will show great signs and wonders. This is Matthew 24 on down to 27. The Son of Man prophecy is the proof that it's the real Christ. Anybody that come after Christ ascended claiming to be Christ, I don't accept that as Christ. Because Christ said when he come back, every eye gonna see him. In the book of Acts, Peter says that Christ went up to sit at the right hand side and he will not return until the appointed time. So there's no reason to believe in another Christ than the one that was already came in flesh.
So there isn't any like stable thing that he's should to do when he come back, like rising dead.
I don't think you understand in Christianity. When Jesus comes back the second time, there will be no one alive. He will literally kill every man, woman, and child on the earth and end the world. That is when he comes back the second time. There's no, oh, how are we going to know it's him? You won't. You're just going to be dead. That's it. You're done.
So
when he comes back, it is his wrath. He is giving grace right now. But when he comes back, it is only his wrath, and you just go straight to hell.
There's verse 29,
do not
bro.
Pass go, do not collect $200.
I mean, you got away with words, Chris, but yeah, he's not wrong. And Kareem, you can find this in Revelation where it talks exactly about that. Chris, do you want to give some more imagery from the book of Revelation, how that unfolds?
Yeah, he comes back with a rod of iron, with a robe dipped in blood,
where he is going to use the sword coming out of his mouth to uncreate every unbeliever. It says that he will explode them as grapes that are overripe in the winepress of the wrath of God. That is exactly what will happen in his second coming. There's not going to be any mistaking, oh, is this really Jesus? It's no, you're just burning in hell. Like, that's how you know it's really Jesus.
I got you. Me as a Middle Eastern, I don't know anything about Christian people, so I always wonder if I proclaim that I'm the Jesus, how I prove it to kill all of the people. I got it. Thanks, man.
Well, you would have your work cut out for you. I mean, there would be a chance that...
Why would you do that? Why would you proclaim that you're the Jesus? Like, why would you do that?
If someone, not me, like, there is a lot of people saying that.
Are you?
Yeah, they're doing that in the Middle East right now.
I'm a Bria Muslim, or I was Muslim, yeah. But right now, I don't believe in anything.
Gotcha. Yeah. So are you leaning towards
Christian?
Well, today
is a good day to start believing in something.
I'm believing in myself. I'm believing that I'm the beginning and the end of myself.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so I should to follow something? Or should I should to follow philosophy?
Well, I mean, in the Christian...
Living a good life?
Well, I mean, in the Christian worldview, if you just, you know, believe in yourself and try to be a really great person with a good philosophical base, you're going to be like one of those over-ripened grapes. But, you know, I don't think people need to necessarily be scared into following Jesus. That's kind of like the wrong way. But when people say, you know, it's a fear tactic and it's used that way, well, I mean, it's just reporting what we believe. So, I mean, the point is, look, if you didn't know anything about the book of Revelation and you just know someone told you, hey, look, we're a Christian and that means we believe God created everything and Jesus is his son who, you know, came to earth, lived a perfect life. Is willing to forgive sins. That means stuff you know you shouldn't be doing that you did that's wrong, that you regret. Like, these are all sins. So, you know, Jesus died on this cross and rose from the dead by the power of God. So, you know, he says, if you want to be forgiven, I paid the price. I will forgive you. I'll give you eternal life for free. You don't got to do anything. Just believe in me. Well, repent and believe. And that's it. Ask for eternal life. You got it. Ask me to make you born again. You've got it. And then you never have to worry about any of this scary stuff. Like, a lot of Christians were, you know, were Christians and saved and, you know, probably don't know anything about the revelation and the grapes getting popped and the wrath of God and all that stuff. Or they were Christians before they learned about it. So, yeah, it's not like a fear tactic, but if people want to know what we think is actually going to happen, yeah, it's going to be really bad if you're not trusting in Christ. So, I mean, that's it.
The hell?
Yes.
Like the Muslim and Jewish people saying.
I mean, there may be some slight differences, but, well, Jews don't have hell in that sense. Not to speak for them, but anyways, the point is, it's going to, not to speak for them in some sense, it's not exactly like Christian hell. Maybe you know more about it, Courtney, if it's appropriate. But, I mean, the point is, it's going to suck and it's going to be bad. So in Christian, yeah, I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, weeping and gnashing of teeth and never-ending torment day and night, like, you know, this, like, lakes of fire and, like, outer darkness and all these very unsavory things. So... the point is, it wasn't created for you. It's not meant for you. Don't go there. The way not to go there is repent and believe in Jesus. Philosophy can wait.
So what's interesting, Nate, if you don't mind, I just jump in here for a second. So I'm sorry, I didn't catch what your name was, and I can't read Arabic.
Kareem.
Kareem.
Call me Typhoon. Call me Typhoon.
Typhoon. Okay. So just full disclosure, I'm an atheist. I think all this stuff is made up. I think everything Nate just said is nonsense. But... I'm curious.
Why are you here again?
you said that you're formerly Muslim. Can you tell me why you're not anymore? Like, what convinced you that it wasn't the thing to do anymore?
I have spent like 3 years with atheists and agnostic people, listening to them and talking to them, and even philosophy and politics and all of those stuff. And I got bored from all of it, and I saw that I'm the beginning and the end of myself. I just want happiness in this world, no more. And after death, I know what I will do. So I care right now. I about my life, not about after death or pre-death or a rebirth. Yeah. So I caring about right now, you know. And I believe that I can do what I want. I can make my own heaven on the earth. You can say.
Nate, we were talking about that last week with the Bengals, yeah. No, but it's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I don't I think there's a couple of little nuanced things that you said that I maybe don't agree with 100%. But yeah, I mean, I would say that Bertrand Russell said once, it's always a good idea, and this is somewhat paraphrased, it's always a good idea every once in a while to hang a question mark on the things that we hold to most closely. So I would say, you know, it's always good to question, which is one of the reasons why I come here a lot, is because I accept the fact that, hey, I could be wrong. And if something is true, I want to know that it's true. I'm still convinced otherwise. But I think it's good that you're, you know, talking to other people and stuff like that. And yeah, like I said, I was just curious as to why you were no longer Muslim. But yeah, thanks, man.
And I guess on one hand, you know, like right after, like, you know, the Christian shares their like sincerely held. Mike, we got to mute.
Oh, sorry.
That's the worst devilment you've done is when you have feedback. I guess on one hand, you could look at it, which I don't know. Let's take a survey. How, you know, the Christian gives their sincerely held belief and, you know, good-natured atheist is like, it's all nonsense. You could say, well, wow, you don't want to hear that right after you hear someone share, you know, sharing why they should be a Christian. But on the other hand, it's like, well, that kind of proves, right, there's no escaping it. There's not just like taking an agnostic approach and be like, oh, you know, I'm just not going to think about that. I'm just going to, you know, live and let live and, you know, people will just do the same. Well, no, there's clearly going to be someone like, you know, pulling on all sides no matter what. And I mean, you know, even though Michael's not trying, I mean, I guess the guy's already, what, agnostic or was atheist or whatever. But I mean, it's not like Michael's necessarily trying to recruit him to atheism, but he's definitely not going to let him get away without sharing, you know, his views or at least how he views others as nonsense. So it's going to happen sooner or later, no matter what. So I guess that's like cards on the table, right? Which kind of, you could say, falls into the Great Commission where Jesus says, look, go into the world and share the message. If people want to hear it, share more with them and tell them. If people reject the message, then shake the dust from your feet and go on your way. So I guess, I mean, you know, from a biblical thing, it's like, look, that's it. Like, we've shared. If you want to consider it, do that on your own time. If you want to know more, we're happy to share more. If you reject it, then, you know, think you can make heaven on earth somehow. I don't know. What's everyone's thoughts on that real quick? The Christians.
I think that atheists should start a new mission. And that should be to convert all of the Muslims to atheists. I think that that would be a good and worthy mission for all atheists. They should ignore Christians for the next, like, say, 500 years and just concentrate on Muslims. I think that's a great idea.
You know, that's I wondered why they don't.
That's horrible.
Wait.
I'll tell you. Oh, go ahead, Steph.
No. Go ahead, Connie. I'm interested.
What? Oh, I was just going to say. Oh, Nate. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I heard Steph first. Steph, say Steph. Stay
oh, up. Just a comment. And now I'm excited to hear why Connie doesn't agree. But I've wondered why they don't. Like, why go after the religion that ended slavery and established freedom and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. We have all these things. And I'm talking just contemporary. and you're gonna go after that one. But the one that you think is equally absurd, that they're currently throwing gay people off of buildings and beating women, you're like, no, we're all right with that one over there.
Yeah, because it's you'll be hated for my name's sake. That's why.
And, right. Yeah, so it's one of those things that's like supernatural, right? It's like it makes no sense whatsoever why they wouldn't, other than the Bible says this is how it's going to be. And it's like, wow, this makes no sense from a logical standpoint that they like rail on Christians but are cool with people who are doing all these things they say are evil. I guess, well, there you go. Chalk one up for the Bible. Connie, what's up, Connie? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say to Kareem, because I may never see him again. I'm 76, and I've met Jesus when 57 years ago. And I just wanted you to know that the reason why I have stayed with Jesus all this time is because he was more powerful than anything I had ever experienced, and he changed me on the inside. And that change hasn't faltered in all that time. And he has never left me, even though I haven't been good for 57 years. He has been good to me. So I just wanted you to know that. It's an inside job, not an outside job. And I hope that And also, I'm not hungry anymore. I'm not hungry like I need to look for anything else. It completely filled me up and satisfied me. Totally. That doesn't mean to say that my life has been hunky-dory, but at the end of every trial that I've been in my life, there's always been a sweet resolution with him, and it's a sweet personal relationship with the creator of the universe, and that's what I wanted to let you know, Kareem.
I respect
so it. I was also kind of just, sorry, just Kareem, just 1 second, because you know, it was kind of, the whole thing was invoked, I think, towards me a little bit. So you can probably find lots of conversations online with me going railing after Islam. So I'll say it here because I know these are recorded. Islam is ridiculous. It's stupid. It's just as foolish as Christianity. And I talk to anybody about that. I talk about Christianity more because, one, it's what I was raised in. And two, it is the most prevalent where I live. That's why I address it most, just in case it was any lack of clarity.
I think that's what Josh was saying.
Go ahead, Kareem. You were responding to Connie.
No, to Connie and Michael also. I respect your experience and all of your beliefs, but I have read Mark and the book of Mark and the book of Luke, and I saw that all of the teaching of Jesus himself, or Yeshua, or Yeshua, that I agree with it. I'm not reviews it, actually. But I see that all of I see it as a philosophy, not as a religion or something that I should to follow. So what I see that all of Christians are right now follow Peter, not the law of Jesus himself. So if I would want to belong to any like religion, I will belong to Islam, because it's very convenient to me, actually. This is the only religion which is convenient to me, at least right here. So I see the law of Peter himself. It's just more absurd than Islamic religion. Thus.
Did you mean?
I'm cut somewhere between Islam is more convenient or convincing. I'm not sure what you said there.
Convincing.
Okay. Well, if it's okay, so it's maybe more convincing, but not convincing enough to actually convince you, because you're not Muslim. So I guess. But as far as what Jesus says. But as far as the bigger point, what Jesus says, if you've read a couple of those books, I mean, I would say, you know, read more, right? It's like you need to read the whole book to get the whole story. So if you're reading like books or different parts of books, but you never finish the story, well, how can you have a full understanding of the book that you didn't read? So I mean, you can say it's a, and that's where we talked about earlier, how some people say, well, look, the Bible just preaches unity and it preaches love. Well, that's like kind of right. It does do those things, but there's a more important point. So like the part you were talking about, like there's laws, there's rules, there's stuff like this. Yes, it does talk about that, but there's a more important point, which is Jesus. So if you find Jesus teaching what you think is philosophy or just being a good moral person or like the golden rule or something like that, well, yes, he does say those things. But if you keep reading, the more important part is he claims to be God and have the power to keep people alive forever in heaven with him when we die in this world and this world ends. That's the ultimate part, to be reunited to this God forever.
Also me, I'm claiming that I'm a God.
Okay, and I'm not convinced. Can you raise yourself from the dead?
I'm not sure to convince you, you know?
Okay. Oh, sure. No, that's fine. I mean, you claim to be a God. I'm not convinced. So, you know, that's fine. We just disagree.
Yeah, one of absurd thing that I see from myself here, the human Jesus have done, that he is go to the public and spread all of his what he's believing about. So I see myself also as a God, or the God, you can say, because I see myself at the beginning of in and end of myself. I have this philosophy, but I don't want to go in it right now.
Courtney, tag your it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But
go ahead, Jesus.
Chris. My battery cut off. Fall off. I shut to.
You what? Your phone's cutting out. Did he say his phone was dying?
Yeah. Something about his phone. He said he doesn't want to go into it. But I was just going to say, is he prophesied? Is his name prophesied? Which is different. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I believe I'm just like God, or I believe I'm just like Jesus. And I'm like, okay, are you prophesied in some manuscript that we can all read about and then, you know, test that? So I don't know. Sounds kind of new agey to me.
It definitely is.
I'm spiritual but not religious. Well, I mean, like Nate said, I mean, he's free to think that, but
I mean, well, I mean, there's several people on here that claim to be God and Jesus and reincarnated Christ. Like, there's several people on here that claim to be that. You know, one claims to be the king of Atlantis and an underworld kingdom. And, you know, that's fine. Like, that's fine. I mean, I'm just not convinced and we disagree. So that's fine. But, I mean, you know, I looked into Christianity and I'm totally convinced that, you know, Jesus is God and is who he says he is. So if they disagree, they shouldn't, from my humble view. But that's fine if they disagree. You know, their problem is not with me. It's going to be with God. And I think it's going to be a big problem. So they should really reevaluate. But if that's honestly their conviction, it's their right to do what they want.
So I do have a question well, we only have one. Well, other than this guy, and I'm sorry to call him Guy. I just don't know his name and I didn't hear it. You said it was Kareem.
Yeah, that's what his name says. If you
okay, perfect.
It.
Okay. The typhoon. Oh, yeah, that's right, I remember now. And Michael, which of all the gods do you find to be the most probable? Michael, go.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think it would be the Abrahamic. Seems to me for longer periods of time. I think it may be something like... Zeus or Odin or Osiris, one of those ones. I don't think it's the Abrahamic gods.
Well, really? Why do you believe so for Zeus?
We're going to get Michael.
Oh, no. Like oh, no. I'm just picking those out. Like, I find them, like, if I was trying to be charitable in answering your question, I find them equally improbable. But pushed to it, I would probably go in that direction rather than the Abrahamic god.
Right. So if we're talking like philosophy with regards to probability, why do you find those to be more probable than that of the Abrahamic God?
Well, if you want to take it that route, then I would have to retract my statement and say I find them equally improbable, especially if you're talking about like from a Bayesian probability perspective, because we have no priors in which to gauge them from.
Okay. So then are you saying that you don't actually have enough information to answer my question of probability?
I don't know that anyone does from a probability perspective, because what are you going to base your priors on? Like if you're going to talk about probabilities, then you have to base a probability on a prior. And if you're talking about a god, then I think they all are equally lacking when it comes to that.
Yeah. So what kind of priors would you expect for a quote god?
That's a good question too.
Thank you. I do my best.
it's good. I've always, that's one of the reasons I've always, and we talked about this before. I appreciate talking to you because you make me think and I like that. I think evidence is a really broad term. It's probably not fair. So I'll try to steer away from that word. When we talk about experiences, that can be hard too, because one of the things that we know, like, for example, that eyewitness experience is really, really unreliable. And probably the best example of that, anybody can Google the monkey in the basketball or the gorilla in the basketball experiment. Basically, just to give you a 5-second recap, there's people that are sat down in front of a monitor and there's 10 people standing in a circle and they toss a basketball back and forth and they're asked to count how many times the basketball goes between players. During the middle of that experiment, a guy in a gorilla suit walks in between, looks at the camera, waves and walks away. And then people are asked afterwards, how many times, oh, what did you think of the gorilla? And this is a longitudinal study. It's been done over decades. And the overwhelming consensus is everybody's like, what are you talking about? There was no gorilla. So we know that eyewitness experience isn't that reliable. So I guess I'm really hard pressed to tell you, but I think I'd have to still, even given that, I'd have to fall back on experience. And the reason I say that is because to an individual that experiences something, personal experience, I don't think there's any better evidence to that individual. I've spoken to people like that. I used to be that person that would say, you know, I know what I heard. I know what I saw. I know what I felt. And so to that individual, it's I think it's the most convincing thing. But personal experience to everybody else is hearsay. I hope I answered your question. I really did my best.
No, I think you did. And if you'd like to answer this one, which god did you pick again? You said Thor. No, I mean,
Odin. Yeah, I think I said Odin, Zeus, and Osiris.
Okay. So what do you know, either mythically or et cetera, what do you know about these gods that is different than the Abrahamic god?
That their own people who invented them don't believe they're real gods?
I think in some cases, Nate, you're right. But there are still people who follow those, and there were people for millennia. Like, for example, with Odin. Odin's kind of nickname was Odin the Allfather in Norse mythology, right? So Odin was as close to Yahweh in Norse mythology as you get, the same as Zeus, right? He was a creator type god. But that might be the closest. As far as Osiris goes, I'm not 100% sure, because I don't think Osiris is at the same level as either Zeus or Odin.
Okay. And, well, I said that was the final question. if it pleases the court, may I ask another question?
Sure, sure. And then we've got some other people ready to talk. But yeah, go ahead.
So it appears that you know more about the Abrahamic God. Is that right?
Yeah, I was a Christian for a long time. Okay. Yeah.
So having said that you know more and demonstrated that you know more about the Abrahamic God, do you believe that you have, without realizing a bias, chosen a God that's outside or antithetical to that of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because it's something you feel obligated to do, even though you know very little about Osiris or Odin, et cetera, to even make an assumption as to whether he's more probable?
No, and it's actually funny, but I have a T-shirt. One of several. I could wear an atheist themed T-shirt probably 60 days in a row and not wear the same one. But one of the T-shirts that I have has Numbers 22:28 on the back, which is the verse, and the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. And on the front of the shirt, it says, "I'm an atheist because I have read it." One of the best pieces of evidence against the God of Christianity is the Bible itself. I've read the Bible a lot, and I've talked to people who've read it a lot and speak the languages, and such. And for me, I'm not going to speak for anybody else. For me, I've been asked this question a lot. You know, what is it? You know, why are you an atheist? And while it's not the only reason, it is one of the biggest reasons, and it's because I've read the Bible. I think the Bible is the biggest reason I look at it and say, this is just nonsense.
So we've talked about this before, and I know there's lots of people too wanted to talk, but we talked about this before, right? And the P's and Q's are there, right? Like the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. The only thing is the supernatural. Did it happen, right? Because you say you're an atheist because you've read the Bible, but I mean, what have you read? The most out there claim is that there is a creator being, a God, that created everything in existence. And like we've talked about before, if you can believe that, then it doesn't matter if a donkey talks, because the more difficult thing than having a donkey talk is to have a being that supernaturally, metaphysically exists at all. And if that's granted, one claim is granted, all the other stuff adds up just fine. So you're saying, and knowing this, like you're saying, like being a Christian for all this time, that you were a practicing believer or whatever, reading the Bible is what made you think Christianity was false, because it all hinges on the one claim of a God that you believed in for a long time.
Yeah,
so anything in that book is possible.
Yeah, of course.
So one claim is what? Okay.
No, and you and I have talked about this a lot, actually. If you grant, like, if you grant the God as described in the Bible, then every story in the Bible is child's play. Parting the Red Sea, the flood, raising people from the dead, Daniel, people in the book of Daniel, people walking around through the fire, people blowing horns at a wall and having it fall over. All of those stories are positively child's play for the God as described in the Bible. That is a step too far for me to accept. It is the supernatural component, because we are barred. We have no way, positively no way. The scientific method is only good for testing the natural world. We have no way, positively no way, to confirm supernatural causation. You can believe it. You can have faith in it. But that is all.
Okay.
And, well, and it's a bridge too far for me.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess because you said, you know, back to the, you know, you don't believe in the Bible because you read it, but you specifically cited like one of these miraculous events, like a donkey talking, right? As if the claims in the Bible, like a donkey talking or walls falling down from earthquakes, blowing trumpets and all this other stuff, you cited as like those things were the main reason why you don't believe the Bible because they're so far and outlandish, which it seems like a more appropriately maybe.
I misspoke. What I meant to say, and if this was unclear, I apologize. If you grant the God of Christianity, all of those things are child's play. They're easily explained by the existence of the God who created everything, right? But it's not. You have to go back before that, right? Because when I look at the implausibility, because of the lack of testability and any type of confirmation of the supernatural, I can't get to the point where you say, okay, sure, there might be a God. Because if I get to that, like I said, everything else is child's play. I give the other things as examples, but I don't want to monopolize the whole thing. You said there's lots of people who want to talk. If you want to talk to me, cool. If they want to talk about something else, cool.
Well, we'll find out. So it's fair to say then in closing this part, that it's not necessarily because a donkey talked or a snake talked in the garden. It's because reducing it as far as it can go, you are unconvinced of the overarching claim that there is a creator God of the Bible. Is that fair?
If you want to break it down to the lowest common denominator, yes, that's probably okay. Fair to say.
Sheep, what's up, Sheep? What's on your
hey,
mind?
Hey, what's up? That's going good. Yeah, I think with Michael choosing the Zeus, I was kind of confused as that part. A lot of the times I ask people, like, if they read the book of the Odyssey, like, those gods literally were simply just a humans up in heaven, and they have conflicts with each other. So I don't know how, like, people come, because there's another person who said the same thing, and I don't know how you can come to that conclusion. But I guess it's just when you reason with it, but that's fine. I just don't understand the God who created everything can be limited to fighting against his own team and creating, you know, and reproducing in order to keep his line, whatever, you know. That's pretty much how it was explained with the when it comes to Zeus.
Random. What's up, Random?
Oh, just... Oh, Mike is here. No, it's good. I was just popping in to provide some atheistic support to Michael.
I'm sure he appreciates it.
I can always count on you, brother.
Gotcha.
Well, there were a couple more people, but I guess we took too long and they left.
I just want to reiterate, actually. It's so the conversation that took place over the last 10 minutes is one of the reasons why, for all those people who will listen to this afterwards and say, why do you keep coming here? It's because of the conversation that happened over the last 10 minutes or so with people like Courtney and the great conversations I always have with Steph and Nate and stuff like that. So just if anybody's wondering.
Thanks for throwing me in there at the last. My feelings aren't too bad.
Yeah.
Courtney, go
now
ahead.
You know how D felt. Now you know how D felt.
I'm sorry. Oh, D's gone.
Yeah. Oh, isn't D still here? I purposely left her out.
But after all, because no one has a problem with her.
Yeah. I think it's a good. I mean, I don't have any beef when people like hang around. I think they find the conversations interesting, and it probably has a lot to do with the fact that they came from this religion. Dr. Josh said in the chat that it's that most people know Christianity better than they know, better than they know Islam, so they tend to quote attack or develop. Polemics against Christianity more so than Islam. So I'm glad that you're here, Michael, and I'm glad that we could have intellectual conversations that are intriguing to you and cause you to think. I tend to find the same thing in atheist rooms.
Hey, Josh, didn't see you down there.
Yeah, and Dr. Josh said he thinks a deistic God, back to where we were talking about that conversation with Michael and Courtney, he thinks he would posit a deistic God, which it kind of sounds like a way to sidestep, right? Because then you can have your God, like some sort of deistic, like God that created stuff to some degree, But then you don't have to take all the dogma and like yeah. further details of specific religions. So, I mean, it's playing it safe, but I mean, I guess it's also a fair answer.
Well, yeah, and I guess everybody has maybe a slightly different, and I asked him the reason why, not to like call you out, Dr. Josh, but just trying to find out like where his mindset is. A deistic God in that he created everything and there's divine hiddenness, and he just kind of like left it all to do its own thing. There's no real standard. There's no nothing. It's just like, hey, I created you. Just do your thing. Or like, maybe I should just wait and see if he answers. Because I find that if that's the idea, and then the question follow-up was, yeah, that's probably what I would think. Okay, so now my next follow-up question is, do you find that that is a problem? And I think that's where James Z said, let's see, let me scroll. Where's it at? He basically said, is divine hiddenness a problem for theists or atheists? And I said, it seems like atheists more. And the reason why I say this is because a lot of atheists will make the claim, you know, your God created us all, created everything, and then just like dipped out on us all. And so here we are just kind of doing our own thing. And it's like, okay, so if one prefers a deistic God, then why is that a problem? Because it sounds like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob could theoretically kind of fit that mold. What do you guys think?
You guys, us, or you guys?
Anybody at this point, because no one's engaged with
that. The Christian God could fit a theistic model somehow?
Well, like divine hiddenness. Are you familiar with what that is?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, so God created, like, we know that the sun will rise every day, the you know, moon, etc. There's like a cycle, and we know the Bible tells us that God kind of set it up this way, which implies that there's a certain amount of hiddenness. And it could be that God wanted it to be this way, because if there was, like, if your boss was hanging over you, he gives you a big project, and then he hangs over you, literally over your shoulder, the entire time that you're doing it, you're going to feel the magnitude of his presence, and you're going to be like, I don't feel like I can make decisions with you standing over me. And so it feels like there would be that power dynamic. And so it seems to me that God, you know, will dip into humanity only at certain, you know, points or guide humanity. But for the most part, there is a divine hiddenness that seems to be there with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which he kind of seems to indicate is a part of it, because he says, I have hidden my face from you, talking about Israel.
Yeah, no one wants a micromanager until they don't have one. Then they get in trouble. They're like, no one told me what to do. But Michael, as a positive note for us, I will say, my time has come and I'm going to leave. But the point is, not one political topic was covered here today. And before it does, I'm going to take the win and leave.
You said my time has come and I'm going to leave. Where are you going? We want to follow.
Right. Yeah, we'll save all the
in the other room to eat leftover dinner.
You guys have a good day.
Take care, everyone. Glad to see you. Bye.